I was brought this note. The Butcher family, a friend of Miss Carroll's, three girls, I don't know how little they were, but the granddaughter, Kristen, last night was killed in a car accident. So if you could pray for the Butcher family. I need you to turn in your Bibles to Luke. I don't think so. I need you to turn in your Bibles to Luke chapter 22. Let's all stand together. I did not have this planned at all. But I can't help it. My heart is... when I see the kids sing and I see the kids serve the Lord, I know generally what comes behind it. And I hope and pray that you'll bear with me for a little while tonight, because that kind of thing makes the devil really aggravated. And I want to talk to you about your everyday life. I don't want to talk to you about the tragic moments and the hurtful moments and the big mountains that you come across. I want to talk to you about your everyday life, because I'm going to be honest with you, everyday life is just before the tragedies. Your everyday life is just before the mountaintops. And I want to talk to you just for a minute about that. The church is going well. Everything's going wonderfully. If you can't get excited about teenagers serving the Lord and getting up here and grandma and them getting up here and singing, I feel bad for you, because the Lord's still wonderful. The Lord is still doing great and mighty works. And to see, you know, a room full of people, and you got the teenagers up front here, what else could you be doing on a Sunday? And it just does my heart very, very good. But as I look at these verses and I thought about the kids, my heart was drawn to Luke chapter 22 and verse 31. The Bible says, "And the Lord said, Simon, Simon, behold, Satan hath desired to have you, that he may sift you as wheat." This is so good, because the Bible says, "But I have prayed for thee, that thy faith fail not. And when thou art converted, strengthen thy brethren." Let's have a word of prayer tonight. Brother Colton, could you lead us in prayer, please?
Father, Lord, I thank you for this evening, Lord. I pray that you'll just come down, Lord. I pray that you'll be with Mr. Ballard as he preaches your word, Lord. I pray that you'll, Lord, open up our hearts. And, Lord, please, we need you to meet here with us tonight, Lord.
Yes.
Oh, Lord, we thank you for Lord, you're already down here already, Lord. We thank you for meeting with us.
Lord.
Thank you for the great singing, Lord. I pray that you'll just continue to move tonight. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank you for coming tonight. It's a room full of folks. Thank you so much for being here. I get excited when the teenagers sing. I don't know about you. I get excited when I hear about teenagers serving the Lord. I get excited about when I hear anybody serving the Lord, to be real honest with you, make a decision and they want to do something for God. But almost every time and invariably right after that happens, the devil knows about it. The devil doesn't know everything about you, but he sure doesn't know where you are. He sure doesn't know your name. And he doesn't want you to do anything for the Lord. And as I think about the past, and I've been here for a little while now, and I think about the past and the things that have gone through, I'm not even going to talk about the bad pitfalls and all those things. I'm going to talk about the everyday life. As I turn in your Bibles over to Luke chapter 9, I want you to see something here, and I want to pick out one verse out of the midst of something wonderful. Out of the midst of something amazing, out of the midst of seeing one of the greatest miracles in the whole wide world, in my opinion. One of these things is this little verse in here. If you think about the way that this verse is put in and think about the pattern that the devil uses here, I would like you to read with me, and I just want you to notice in verse 37 that it involves a little child. I want you to notice that it involves a daddy. I want you to notice that it involves disciples, everyday disciples. And I want you to notice that it also involves the Lord. Praise God for that. If you look at verse 37, the Bible says, "And it came to pass that on the next day, when they were come down from the hill, much people met him. And behold, a man of the company cried out, saying, Master, I beseech thee, look upon my son, for he is mine only child." I don't know about you, but I know what it felt like only to have one. I know what it feels like to have three. And if any of them were in trouble for their life, I know what that feeling would be like. This man is distraught. This man is in turmoil. This man doesn't know what to do. This man is at that pit that we were talking about, at that tragedy in his life. He is coming as a last resort to Jesus Christ. And here's what's sad. The vast majority of Christians follow the same pattern. The vast majority of Christians do the same thing and wait to the very last, the very end. And then they finally decide, now is when I'll seek out Jesus. I don't want to talk to you about the tragedy. I don't want to talk to you about the mountaintop. I don't want to talk to you about the deep valley. I want to talk to you about the plateau of life where we don't seek Him. It's easy to praise Jesus when everything's going great. It's easy to seek Jesus when everything's going wrong. But I wonder if we kept a conversation with Him while we were on the medium times, if that would make both a lot easier to handle. If we look at these verses, I see a man that needs Jesus desperately. The Bible says in verse 39, "Lo, a spirit taketh him, and he suddenly crieth out, and it teareth him that he foameth again, and bruising him hardly departeth from him. And I besought thy disciples to cast him out, and they could not." I want you to remember that verse. I want you to remember that I besought thy disciples to cast him out, and they could not. Jesus answering said, "O faithless and perverse generation, how long shall I be with you and suffer you? Bring thy son hither." And as he was yet a coming, and boy, teenagers, if you can see this, and as he was yet a coming, the devil threw him down and tear him. And Jesus rebuked the unclean spirit and healed the child and delivered him again to his father. The verse I want to draw your attention to is, I besought thy disciples to cast him out, and they could not. I'm not, again, concerned with how great and wonderful and mighty the greatness of our people are, and it is. I believe that the prayer of our people can do a lot of things. I really think we need to get plugged in and start praying harder than we ever have before. I think we really need to do something, and God will prove Himself. But when people come here, and I just want to stay here for one moment. We're going to talk about the devil tonight, and I hope he gets real, real mad. Because I'm going to tell you, he's real. Just as much as we praise God about him being real and all the great things he does, sweetheart, the devil is just as real, and he cannot wait to get a hold of you. See, we walk around day after day after day after day, coming in contact with folks. They're looking for something, Michael. You know this world is looking for something. That's why there's so much craziness out there today. That's why there's so many weird things going on. They're seeking something. That's why all the pot houses are out there. They're seeking something. That's why all the drunkards are out there. They're seeking something. They're looking and looking and looking. I besought something. Found it not. And when people come into this church, I want them to know that we've got it. When they come here, I want them to know that this is what they need. They need Christ. I read those first verses because I wanted to tell you something. The devil is very, very predictable. And it's amazing how often we fall into him. It's amazing how he's clever, but he's very predictable. He waits until there's nothing going on. It's amazing how this happens. He waits until there's nothing going on, or maybe a little good thing happened, and you might have a decision in the back of your mind to come to Christ again and do something more for him. And then the devil comes in and sifts you. The devil comes in, you say, "Well, I'm not possessed." I didn't say you were possessed. I say you're oppressed, and we allow the devil to do the things to us that he does. And I'm going to tell you right now, it takes a wonderful, wonderful walk with God to avoid that sifting. I'm not talking about a Sunday walk with God. Boy, somebody say amen to me. I'm not talking about a Sunday walk with God. I'm not talking about a Sunday school walk with God. I'm not talking about a Wednesday night walk with God. I'm not talking about a church service walk with God. I'm not talking about you shouting amen while the kids sing walk with God. I'm not talking about putting in your... Oh, well, we don't get any walking with God when it comes to that. I'm going to tell you right now, I want you to walk with God every minute of every day. Because I got news for you. He hath desired to have you. He hath desired to have you. Millie, don't you stop coming to church, honey. Because he hath desired to have you. Let me tell you, I think it's good that we talk about you. I really do. We talk about you behind your back and everything. I think it's good that we talk about you, honey, because you're doing a good job. But we're not the only ones that know that. The devil knows it too, honey. And I'm going to tell you, as strong as your family is and as strong as this pew of people is, honey, it comes down to your walk with him, not anybody else's. Because he walketh about seeking whom he may devour. He walketh about, boy, Colton, he cannot wait to sink his teeth in you. It only takes 5 minutes to eat you. Look at you. That's why I get so fat, so the devil can't get a hold of eat me so fast. It'd take him a two-day meal right here, buddy. I'll wake up and stop him before he completely consumes me. But he wants to have you. He wants to have you, Jimmy. Do you know why? Because you just sang a song for Jesus Christ up here. He wants to stop you. Do you know why? If he stops you, son, do you know how many other people he stops? Do you know how many other people he stops, sweetheart, if you stop singing? How about you? You know how many other people he stops if he gets a hold of your life and turns you worldly? You say, well, you're my daddy. Quit yelling at me. Don't sit in front of me. What you got to understand, Brother Bill, is the devil wants to have you. And he knows you. Did you know that he's not perfect? The devil knows that too. Brother Mike Freimeyer, you're a good man. I love to have you here. This is actually kind of melancholy for me because I don't get to see you that often. But my friend, as good as you are, you're not perfect. I know him a little bit more than others, and I'm going to tell you, he's nearly not even that great. But what could the devil do if he got a hold of you, sir? What could the devil do? And let me tell you this. What the devil plans on doing is not what he starts out to do. See, the devil desires to sift him as wheat. The devil desires walking around, seeking whom he may devour. He wants to use Michael to do his bidding. And we fall into it. He's predictable, but we fall into it. Why? Because we stop being Christian for a day. Why? Because we stop being Christian for a moment. And let me tell you something. Can I just be honest with you? You know there's days preachers don't want to come to church? Huh? If you'd be honest, you don't want to come to church ever. Let me tell you something. The days that you stay home and the days that you don't show up, this building should be packed with people. That's the days the devil's got you. That's the day the devil's got you. When you decide you want to stay home, when you decide you want to do the wrong things, let me tell you something. The last couple of days, I've had moments full of them. I'm so happy no one else has. But I've had moments where I just wasn't paying attention to the Lord like I ought to. The devil's walking around me too, see? The devil desires to have me that he may sift me as wheat. Why? Because if he can get a hold of me and get my life turned around, how many people could he affect through me being not here? How many people get... You say, well, you're a preacher. Let me tell you something. You've got a circle of 200 friends that are watching you, depending on you, hoping on you to be that Christian that they look to. You may not be good, but you certainly could be great. Why? Because he's great. What are we going to show the world? What are we going to show them, Brother Rod? Are we going to show the world that God can't? I'm so glad it got quiet right there. I'm so sick and tired of melancholy preachers. I'm so sick and tired of wimpy, backbiting, little stupid Christians. I'm so sick and tired of talking about the revivals of the past while not thinking that revival could happen. Satan hath desired to have you, that he may sift you as wheat. And some of you he's already got. Why? Because your daily life, I'm not talking about Sundays and Wednesdays. You're good on those days. You've got to be. You come here. Preacher sees you. You're scared of him too. Don't tell me you're not. You guys sit on the front row. That's why we put the teenagers up here. You're in spitting distance here. We put you here because he can see you. You fall asleep, he comes down here and says, wake up. I'm not talking about today. How about Monday? You know, most preachers want to quit once a week on Mondays. Why? Because Sunday takes a lot out of them. But you know what? It's not just the preachers. It's the Christian life. Can I ask you a question? When's the last time you heard somebody get a blessing and you were mad about it? See, it doesn't make any sense, right? You think that doesn't make any sense. Wait. Let me rephrase the question then. What happened last time somebody got a blessing and you said, God, why wasn't that me? See, this may not be hitting home to you tonight, but tonight this is where I live. Get mad at me all you want to. I don't want the devil to have me. I said, I don't want the devil to have me. He gets a hold of your thoughts. He gets a hold of your intents. He gets a hold of your heart, and you can act all you want to. Go ahead. Act like you're great. He's got you. Act like you're something more than you are. He's got you. Do you know why I talk about sin so much? Nobody else in the whole wide world seems to be doing it anymore. Nobody else in the whole wide world seems to care about sin anymore. They're just little sins. They're just little. It's just a little sin that marched me through my day of Christlessness. That marched me through my day of not having prayer. That marched me through my day of skipping the Bible calendar. I can't believe how far I got behind, preacher. Next thing I know is 10 days. Who can read all that? Because, listen, because you have 10 days of Christlessness. Wait a minute. I'll get to my message in a minute. This is on my heart right now because it frightens me. We talk all the time about what's going to be there for our babies. We're trying to make ourselves so great in front of everybody, we're killing the world that they have to inherit. We're so worried about having 5,000 people revivals, we won't live right enough to show our kids that you can still live right. Boy, I'm swinging now. You know, I get a little bit tired of people complaining about being godly. I get a little bit tired about people complaining about, you ought not listen to country music. There I hit on it again. You ought not get on Facebook. Boy, I'm tearing the whole world apart. You ought not get on this. Why? Because that's what you want more than Christ. I'm going to tell you right now, you give an opportunity to a Christian today, a normal Christian today, they would rather sit on that computer for 24 hours than be with Christ for 24 minutes. Why? Because Christ isn't any fun. It's so fun to gossip. It's so fun to find out what Jimmy just did 7 seconds ago. What are you doing right now? I'm going to the bathroom. With your laptop? Satan is predictable. Because of our lack of desire. I want you to see this. I besought Bethel Baptist Church. Huh? I besought Bethel Baptist Church to cast him out. Boy, that's good. Put your name in there for me, would you? I besought Michael Kuharski Sells. He hyphenated. I besought Michael to cast out the devil. And he could not. I besought Bill Turner to go ahead and cast the devil out. But he would not. We live our life day after day after day after day after day after day with lackluster Christianity, searching and asking, why can't it happen today? because we won't go after it. We would rather point out, we knocked on 700 million doors this week, than live 5 more minutes of yourself with Christ. Hey, no, I'm all for the door knocking. Please, we need to knock on doors. All 6 of us. Man, I tell you, I hope you got steel toes on tonight because I'm hopping mad. You know I'm hopping mad? Because the devil's winning. Brother Bill, the devil's winning, son. In all of our lives, the devil's winning. Brother Mike, the devil's winning. And we may not even recognize it's coming because we're too stupid. Let me tell you something. What if you were offered tickets to go to the Super Bowl on Sunday? Easy, you're sitting in church right now. Oh, I would come to church. Sell the tickets and tithe off the profit. Yeah. You lie like a dog. Amen. Why? Because you'd have to spend another day with Jesus. I'm not talking about Sundays. I'm not talking about tragedies. I'm not talking about the valleys. I'm not talking about the mountaintops. I'm talking about tomorrow. I'm talking about tomorrow. How are we going to live for Christ tomorrow? How are we going to live for Christ when nobody's looking? How are we going to live for Christ when nothing else is going on? And when, Brother Carl, when somebody knocks on your door beseeching you, oh, Carl, I need your help. Are you going to be able to say, this is how you get rid of the devil? Why? Because I'm walking with Christ today. This may not be popular, but I believe the devil's real. I don't want the devil to have my kids. Yeah, I've claimed them all. I don't care. Get mad at me all you want to. I'll hug every one of them right in front of everybody. These are my kids. I don't want them to be taken in by... You know how many teenagers I've watched go under because they took 5 minutes off, or their parents took 5 minutes off, or everybody... Do you realize that most bad things happen in just that short of a time? And then here we are in church. In church. Wondering when he's going to be done yelling at me. I just want to wake up Bethel Baptist Church. What a great crowd tonight. But this ain't good enough. See, Satan has desired to have the independent fundamental Baptist. You know why? Because we're basically the only ones that have the truth anymore. Only ones willing to stand for the book. The only ones willing to do the right thing. And everybody else can't wait to kowtow to everyone else that's running a bigger work than them. Well, they're running 700,000. They must be doing right. Let's go join Osteen's church. He's running big numbers. It must be right. Let me tell you something. He hasn't talked to Christ since he's been born. How can you say that about Joel? Let me tell you something. Let me tell you something about him. Get mad at me all you want to. If he cared about his people, he'd talk about sin. The devil's predictable because we let him be. The devil's predictable because the same things plague us every single day. Do you know you haven't changed a bit? Huh? You really haven't. It's easy to get you. We've got this wonderful suit of armor that only the devil can find, the little chinks in armor. Let me explain something to you. The Lord gives you that armor. If you don't put on the whole armor of whose armor? Okay, so now you're walking right out in the middle of nowhere with nothing on to save you because you didn't put on the whole armor of God, because I put it on Sunday. I put on the armor on Sunday. Well, Brother Dave, I even came for your dumb Sunday school class. I certainly was fully equipped with the armor when I came here, but you walked out on Monday with nothing to stop him. Your everyday life. Why don't I see great things from Christ? Because you're not tuning in. And the devil's got you. The devil's got you by flashy things. The devil's got you by funny things. The devil's got you by happy things. The devil's got you by things that are real, real bright to look at. Wrong things. How much time do we spend with sports in America? Hey, I'm with you. football going on right now. That's why most of you keep looking back at the clock. Trust me, it's not that great. The devil's got us. I worry. You know, Brother Austin, you're 18, right? Got that right. 18 years old. I've watched him grow up. You are the guy that Satan can't wait to get a hold of. Because you've got a long life to live. You're a Christian. You come to church and you even brave sitting next to your grandmother. That takes faith, buddy. Now, no, and I'm being serious though. Austin, he wants you to succeed in anything but Jesus Christ. Doesn't want you to fail. He wants you to succeed in anything else but Jesus Christ. You're smart. I got to watch him today in Super Church. Loves the kids. By the way, I had tons of workers today. I stole them from your church service. I can't apologize. I had 10 games going on. But I'm going to tell you something, son. If we fail, because we can, right, Brother Bobby? If we fail, you can't. Now, as parents, you must understand something. It's your job as a parent to show the kids that you can live a good life. It's your job. If you cop out with me and say, well, the kids are going to do what the kids are going to do, bring me out the beer. You failed. Yep. You failed as a parent, and you failed worse as a Christian. Right. Satan hath desired to have you that he may sift you as wheat. And I'm going to tell you right now, it's very real, the things that we go through every single day to keep us distracted of the things of Christ. It's amazing. We have visitation on Saturday. Why don't we have visitation with the phone every day? We can't stop for 5 minutes and call somebody. I'm just putting out things. Why? Because we don't think about it. Me either. It's amazing to me that Satan has done such a good job. And in the midst of this horror, in the midst of this person that is seeking out the very Christ that we say, that we hold so dear, in the midst of all these things, we find out that this is what the devil does. Why are we so surprised when things go crazy? Why are we so surprised when our lives fall apart and we're in the midst of watching pornography on the computer? Why are we so surprised? I cannot believe that I committed adultery. The Lord says you already did it in your heart. You've already lost. See, it's amazing to me how many things that the world can use to grip a person, yet they still come to church on Sunday. I want you to come. But I want you to be well equipped all week long. I want you to be thinking about the Lord all week long. See, what the devil does is get you to stop thinking about Christ. The devil lets us realize something else too. Boy, I tell you, he's so predictable. I don't know if you've ever had problems with this, but I have. The devil's good at making us doubt. And it's a myriad of things. He could make us doubt salvation. Well, why would you ever doubt your salvation? Have you seen me? I can't believe that he would save me. I have guilt throughout my life of the things that I have done in my past and the life that I've lived. I don't see it as a trophy case. I see it as a trap that has held my leg for so long. Thinking about, oh, what could I have done if I was these babies? What could I have done if I would have led my life for Christ? What could I have done if I would have taken the opportunity to serve Him after salvation at 11? What could I have done if I would have served Christ every day? What could I have done? What could I have done if I would have told the devil, I'm not interested in what you've got. I only want what he's got. What could I have done? Not just for myself, but for others. How many people do not have the Lord, yet they're seeking something and we're failing to give it to them? Why? Because we won't live it ourselves. Don't have time for it. Church is already too long. We're going to have a, how many days did you say revival? We're going to have an 8-day revival. Oh, my soul. Going to have to burn some vacation days for this one. Thanks, preacher. I would love to have a tent revival where we kick the world out. Let me ask you a question. What would you do? What would you do if God showed up 7 days in a row? What would you do in your life if you saw Christ every day for 8 days in a row? What would you do? Would you know how to contain yourself? Would you know what to think? I can't even imagine. 8 days. 8 days of no Facebook. 8 days of no iPhones. 8 days. Did you say no iPhone? What would you do? I like this next question. Who would you talk to? Satan hath desired to have you. And we've got to make a difference in this world. We've got to. What do you want to make a difference? Miss Taylor, what do you want to make a difference doing? Do you want to do something that's going to last forever? Or do you want to do something that's going to last for 25 minutes? Don't you think that it should be something that we want to do forever? That we want to make a difference in a child's life? We make a difference in a person's life that doesn't know God? I hope I'm not boring you tonight, but I'm going to tell you right now, our daily, everyday walk with God is suffering. Our daily, everyday thinking about what Jesus would desire out of our lives is lacking. You don't understand. Yes, I do. Satan hath desired to have you that he may sift you as wheat, and he is very, very predictable. What bothers you from day to day? What gets on you from day to day? I know what gets on me. It's real easy. I don't have any problem. I know what's coming. Isn't that amazing? It's like having a big bowl of the flu sitting in front of you, and you go dip your face in it, can't believe you got the flu. I know what gets me. And yet I still walk right into it. I know what gets me, and yet I still do it. Why? Because my walk isn't good enough. Maybe I'm the only one in the room willing to admit that. See, I've been struggling in my life lately, trying to get closer to the Lord. It's an exercise in patience, I'll tell you that. Because I've got an old flesh, by the way, that does not have power over me. He has power over it, and I can allow him to fix this. But so many times I allow this to stay broken. How do I do that, preacher? Well, you know what bothers you. You know what gets at you. Do your very best to talk to the Lord when you see it coming. I would love one time, this is almost comical that I'm going to say this, I would love one time for a person that has a problem with gossip, because I'm using that because I know nobody in this room deals with that. I would love one time, Brother Rod, for somebody to be just getting ready to talk about me.
Did you hear what Pastor Dave said about Facebook again? Do you know what a powerful tool that is?
I would love to have somebody say, you know what, before we talk, can we pray? Oh, God isn't doing what I think he ought to do. I'm going to go tell on somebody or do something, make me happy. I wish we could just pray for a moment before we did that. You know what gets you. You know what gets you. You know your own chinks in your own armor, dummy. Don't act like you don't know. I know you don't show them here, but you know you have them. You know what they are. Every last one of you knows what they are. When they come up, get you to an altar. By the way, do you realize I'm talking about every day? I'm not talking about just Sundays. I'm not talking about just right now when you're mad at me Be mad all you want to, but you know I'm right. When you're dealing with the devil, the best thing to do is go and get Jesus. I'll show you. Man, we're in a place we can't do it. Why? Because their walk with Christ got lackluster. Was Christ different? Had Christ changed? Has his ability to heal anybody gone away? No, the disciples had the problem. Why? Because their walk was lackluster. Look at this. And I besought thy disciples to cast him out, and they could not. And Jesus answering said, O faithless and perverse generation! How would you like Jesus to call you that name? Huh? Let me help you. He is. Right now. When's the last time you had faith? This ain't popular. I know that. I don't want to be a lackluster Christian. Huh? Oh, faithless and perverse generation. I have not changed. I cannot lie. I haven't gone anywhere. They traveled all the way from Tucson to hear this message. They're not happy right now. Look at them. And you can look back at me and be gruff all you want to, but Christ is calling you out. I said Christ is calling you out. It ain't me, Brother Phil. It's Christ calling you out. I said it's Christ calling you out. You get mad at me all you want to, but God wants to do something. God wants to do something. But the problem is, we got to stop doing what we want to do and start doing what He wants us to do. Why couldn't we cast him out, Lord? Because you're faithless and perverse. Because you're doing what you want to do. I can just imagine. Can you imagine? Can you imagine the ability to heal? How many of you would use that ability like everywhere you'd go? Think about that for a moment. Come on, Colton, I got a bad face. Some things even God can't do. No, can you imagine? Can you imagine? He's sick. Pow! Healed. Bad wrist. Pow! Healed. Pow! Pow! Pow, 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 pow! Healed. Could you imagine real godly healing? I mean godly, real healing. Do you know why I think they got off course? And this is being completely, this is using liberality. You don't have to believe me at all. You don't. I can see why they got off course. Huh? Because they started stepping up one. Oh, yeah, yeah. Uh-huh. Come on, sick. I got this. Huh? Oh, yeah. Here I am. Woo! Come on. Let me heal you because I am the one. Huh? You know what I struggle with more than anything in my world? I can't believe Jesus would use me. I can't believe it. It makes no sense to me. Here he comes. Hey, listen, I'm so thankful that the world saw their need because the disciples didn't. Yeah. Right. Hey, listen, you need Christ. Hey, Christian, you need Christ. I know you're saved, but do you know that you still need Christ? Here's the disciples. They're casting everything out until this one comes. They didn't even recognize what this one needed. Christian, do you recognize what the world needs? Does the world need coffee in the foyer? Does the world need a rock band up here? Does the world need blinking Eat at Joe's lights every time somebody gets baptized? The world needs Jesus. They can't figure it out. They're disciples. The independent fundamental Baptist church can't figure out that we need Jesus. You people that have been saved before I was alive, you need Jesus. You ain't that spiritual. That's what happens in the life of a Christian. Why do you get off track? Because you forget you need Christ. You forget. Well, I've been saved now for 175 years. Certainly, I know all the ins and outs of the scripture. Certainly, I'm more gallant than most. This church would not function without me in it. because of my presence here that the walls stay up. You don't even know what Jesus needs from you anymore. Every day you're a sinner. There isn't one day that you're not a sinner. You're every day a sinner. Every day. Every day you need Jesus Christ. Every day. Not just in the bad times. Not just praising Him for the good times. Not just during meal times. You need Jesus every day, every minute of every day. Thank God the world said, well, I better get over to Bethel. Because Bethel ain't bringing me in. Are we having fun tonight? Huh? Because Bethel ain't bringing me in. It's not more programs we need. It's not. It's not. We need more people who want to spend time with Christ. That's the truth. I mean, you put it wherever you want. That's the truth. If you want to spend more time with Christ, these pews will fill. If you want to spend more time with Christ, you won't have a problem with a 15-day revival. If you want to spend more time with Christ. What happens in this world, though, is we don't have the need. As long as we got a few bucks in our pocket and an electronic device in our hands, we don't need Christ. Well, good Lord, I've even got my Bible on an electronic device. I'm not against that, but how about turning a page once in a while, just a thought? You can carry your electronic device and nobody knows you're a Christian. That's why you do it. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Amen. Jesus answering said, O faithless and perverse generation. Look at this next statement. The Bible says, I'll never leave you nor forsake you. And I know he's talking about his earthly ministry here. I understand that. But can I show you something that ought to make you shudder? How long shall I be with you and suffer you? This is the Sunday night crowd. This should be the cream of the cream of the crop. How long shall I be with you and suffer you before you decide to think about me? Let me help you even one further. I run the Christian school here. And I've heard Christ say this to me. Brother Dave, I let him call me that. How long shall I be with you and suffer you before you seek me? The disciples gathered around, I'm sure, probably embarrassed. I've been embarrassed before like that. I've been embarrassed before as I watched my child pass out a tract to a person that I ignored. I've been embarrassed before as my son tells me to witness to the football coaches. I tell him I'll do it later. How long shall I suffer you? How long? Anything that I preach, and you need to understand this, it hits me like a ton of bricks long before I get to you. And Christian, I believe if it's bothering me, it's probably bothering some of you too. I don't want to make you mad, but the Lord needs to have a revival. Brother Bill, we talk about it like it's a dental visit. Well, if he comes down and gives me Novocaine, maybe we can pull that tooth. A revival is something he desires. Do you think Jesus wants an empty tent? Do you think that if we do what God asks us to do, our man of God has put a challenge in front of us 8 days. Do you think that God won't show up in those 8 days? Don't you think, Christian, that we can use 8 days of God coming down? Don't you think in our lives that we could suffer for a while for Jesus Christ and have Him show up in a tent with you in it? Every day. Well, I work. Take a week off. Take a week off. Look at this faithless and perverse generation. You think Jesus doesn't want to come down? You think Jesus doesn't want to show himself, prove himself that he is still God? The devil reminds us that we have depravity. It's simple. We know we're not worthy. The problem is when we start to think that we are, which is probably what these folks went through. The devil doesn't do well with defeat either. You know why our sound system messes up? I believe this. You can say what you want to say. Say what you want to say. Get mad all you want. It's not John's fault. I don't believe for a minute that the devil wants us to succeed, because I believe the devil's real. And I don't believe the devil wants the message to go out. I don't believe the devil wants any of these kids to sing. I think he wants to put in their heart a sense of discouragement, a sense of depravity, a sense. Here's the thing, Autumn, you got a beautiful voice, honey, but you got to understand that voice wasn't, that's not you, that's given to you. And if you start to think that it's you, then you're going to lose. Tiffany, your ability to write music and play music, it really aggravates me, to be real honest. But if you start to believe that it's you, then you're going to lose it. See, I look at the devil and I see him doing these things, and I know it's late. But then I thank God. I thank God because God still wants to use us. I thank God because as much as I've talked down to myself and to you tonight, Jesus still has a job for you. Now look at this. As I look at these things, Jesus answering said, "O faithless and perverse generation, how long shall I be with you and suffer you?" Look at this. "Bring thy son hither." I'm tired of you. Bring me your problems. What a good God we serve. What an almighty, wonderful, perfect Savior. Oh, I hate you. You're doing horrible. But bring your problems anyhow, because I love you. Look at this. "How long will I be with you? Suffer you. Bring thy son hither." And as he was yet coming, the devil threw him down. Boy, doesn't that happen. Do you see that all the time? Person turns their life around. "Brother Dave, I've got it. You've kindly convinced me through the Lord that I'm supposed to do something for him." And you'll start walking to the altar and trip halfway and bust your nose. Why? Because the devil doesn't want you to go forward. So he works double time and double hard on you to stop. Knowing what bothers you, he'll probably put it double into you. You have a problem with alcohol, he'll take you to a bar. Your car will break down right there. Wouldn't that be something? "I'm only going in to make a phone call, but the tow truck's not going to be here for 2 hours. Start out with a Coke, end up in the police department. And as he was yet a coming, the devil threw him down and tear him, and Jesus rebuked the unclean spirit. Aren't you thankful that you've got a Lord that fights for you? The devil is very, very predictable, but let me explain something to you. Even more predictable is Jesus. As I read these verses, I get thankful. As I read these verses, "How long shall I suffer?" It's a question that's hypothetical only. Because to be real honest with you, the Bible says, "I'll never leave you nor forsake you." How long shall I suffer you? How long shall I be with you? You perverted and faithless generation? How long? Forever. Because he loves you so much. Because he needs you so much. Because he's got to do something in this world today. And you're the only one to do it. He says, "Bring thy son hither," because you've got more work to do. Bring me your problems. Bring me your issues. Let me tell you something. I got to be honest. I'm getting a little tired of people coming around the back end. I'm going to go out and get sin for a while, and I'll see you in a little bit. You know what? I would to God we'd get some holiness again. I would to God we'd decide to get right with God and give up the world that we're floundering around in and decide, you know what? I'm going to serve Christ because I'm sick and tired of coming around the other end. I'm sick and tired of having Jesus bail me out all the time. I think I'll just follow him a while. I get sick and tired of the old days being forgotten. In the old days, they could have done it. Hogwash, you can do it right now today. There's nothing that's saying you can't do something for God today. Today, right now, in this generation. Wouldn't it be great if we were in the middle of revival and he came back in a rapture? Wouldn't it be great if we were sitting in that tent singing Jesus saves and singing how great thou art and singing all those things, and then Jesus comes down? I'm going to tell you, you'd really sing then. how great thou art would take a whole new meaning. And when Christ shall come with shouts of acclamation, I guarantee you, you'd be acclaiming at that moment. Why? Because then you knew that Jesus is real. You saw him that Jesus is real. You knew that you were in the right place seeing Jesus is real. You knew for 5 minutes of your life you decided to look upon him in your everyday, not just Sunday, in your everyday. It's easy for you. You come to the church every day. I live here. Seriously. Seriously.